The University of Illinois, in cooperation with Parkland College and Boardman's Art Theater in Champaign, is sponsoring the Tournai French Film Festival, which will be held at Boardman's Art Theater in Champaign on Friday, October 7th through Thursday, October 13th. Five French films, Sequins, Games of Love and Chance, Moulade, Notre Musique, and Who Killed Bambi will be shown throughout the week. My name is Maeve Riley, and this is Focus 580. Today I'm joined by Professor Maggie Flynn, Assistant Professor of French and Cinema Studies at the University of Illinois, and one of the organizers of the local Tournai French Film Festival. We'll be discussing the lineup for the film festival and French film in general. You can join our discussion by calling 333-9455, that's 333-WILL, or toll-free 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. WILL. Maggie, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Before we start talking about the films, I wondered if you could tell me just a little bit about the festival itself. Mm-hmm. This is new to Champaign-Urbana. Mm-hmm. And how did this come about?
Well, the Tournai Festival is a program where most of the money comes from the French government. And about 40 to 50 campuses, colleges and universities in the country get grants. It's a competitive grant process in order to bring French films, contemporary French films, to their campus. They advertised this to French department, so I'd heard about it. It sounded interesting, kind of floated some feelers out around, and Boardman's was very interested in collaborating with us, as was Parkland College. So we did the application, and we got the grant, and we're very excited about that. There's about 60 films that are part of the festival nationally that will be circulating around in different places. We are showing five of them. Okay. Those are sort of basically the local organizing committee got together and chose and shortlisted and then saw what we could fit in.
And what kind of criteria did you use to choose those films?
Well, obviously we didn't want to show anything that had already shown, except in one case we actually are, but that's special.
Okay.
And we wanted to make sure that we brought some things that probably wouldn't have come anyways. And of course, Boardman's was really helpful knowing what they were going to be able to program later in the year or not. We wanted to have a good cross-section of what not just what the French film industry is showing, but what people are seeing. So we wanted to hit different types of genres, different political issues, popular film, more arty avant-garde film. You know, we didn't want to just serve up a prepackaged notion of what French film is. Although I think that people who know French film and like French film are not going to be disappointed, we also wanted to kind of enlarge that vision a little bit. So
okay. And what is French film?
Well, it's not as different, I think. Well, maybe I should turn that back around to
okay.
you. What do you think French film is? Because maybe as someone not in it, you have a better...
Yeah. You know, I think people sometimes classify French film as maybe more of an art film, maybe something that's very incomprehensible
right.
and maybe a little... You know, and I think you mentioned that you've had a good cross-section of different
right.
kinds of films. So,
well, this is you sort of said what I expected or hoped you would say. After the French New Wave, most and the huge influence that the New Wave, both as directors and as critics, a little bit earlier writing for the Cahiers du Cinéma, and then that being imported by Andrew Saras with the American edition of the Cahiers. French film has really got a reputation for being high intellectualism, mm-hmm. Which, you know, I'm all for. But at the same time, there's great genre cinema that happens in France, and sometimes these things correspond to what we are familiar with in Hollywood. I mean, a suspense thriller is kind of a suspense thriller. Which genres are more popular? The musical comedy is something that looks fairly different and is really alive and well in France in a way that we don't really see many musical comedies here anymore. So there are differences, but it's probably more similar than people think. Yes, we are showing Notre Musique, which is the most recent film, and really great work by New Wave director Jean-Luc Godard, who's now in his 70s, but going very strong. So, you know, that's there. It's present. But at the same time, we're showing a suspense thriller.
Right.
And, you know, the other three films are by young directors. And three of the films are by young directors. Two of them are first feature films.
Okay. So. Well, and I just wanted to get back quickly to the partnership you're doing between the U of I and Parkland.
Yes.
And students from the U of I and from Parkland will be attending these films as
absolutely.
Well. And are they films being incorporated into their classwork? Or?
Yeah, we contacted before, as we were doing the grant application, we contacted as many people as we could think of on both campuses, sort of looking at what courses were being offered and saying, you know, we're going to be bringing these hopefully to town, and if you're interested in doing curricular tie-in, we want to work out a situation whereby you can get your students to go to the art for free, which they will be doing. So quite a few students, well, if they go. I mean, we know students skip classes. So, in principle, we'll have over 1,000 students who are being strongly encouraged
to attend,
and you have the opportunity to attend the films for free. So,
and the film, they're not just French students, and I imagine
correct.
There would be...
Absolutely. We have and I'm going to mix different campus terminology. Mm-hmm. We have different names for departments, but there's linguistics, cinema studies, obviously, social psychology, history, I think that's
pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there were several people in. Oh no, fine and applied arts. I know there were some art historians in at the U of I who were really disappointed that it didn't fit their syllabus. So, but are going to encourage their students to go anyway.
Lots
so.
Of free film for the
yes,
students.
Yes, so. Exactly.
And then members of the general public can also attend.
Absolutely, which is part of why we really, really wanted Boardman's involved, because. This gives us the opportunity to screen the films multiple times, which is better for our students because it's more flexible. But it also means that there's so much more room for everybody. And, you know, this is one of the advantages of living in a college town, right, is that you can – these interactions are I think, appreciated on both sides. So, yeah, I mean, I want everybody to see them.
And the cost of the films is between $5.50.
It runs from $5.50 to $8,
okay.
And it depends upon the time of the week, the time of day, the day of the week.
Right.
So all that information is actually available on Boardman's website, which is www.boardmansarttheater.com.
Okay.
So that's all that's there.
Right. And as you mentioned, there are several different showings of every film. So I would suggest that you do go to the website. We're not going to mention all the times here, but it does begin on Friday. So check the website. And it's Boardman's Art Theater. And theater is re.com. And you will have other events throughout the week as well?
Indeed. There are, well... Every little detail of this will appear both on the theater website, but also the Hub is doing a lot of coverage for this. They've been great in terms of providing us with advertising and so on. And the downtown business community is, of course, thrilled that we don't just want people to come downtown. We want them to stay downtown. So information will be in the Hub in terms of there's some film discussion groups who are interested in maybe doing something in a coffee shop, et cetera. In terms of what's going on campus, for open to the general public, on Tuesday, October 11th, the Illinois IPRH, which is the Illinois Program for Research in the Humanities, is co-sponsoring with the Unit for Cinema Studies a panel discussion on Senben Usman's Mulade. That's going to have two participants who are U of I faculty and two who will be coming from, one from Indiana University and one from Western Illinois, who are specialists on Senben's work. So there's intellectual events on campus.
Mm-hmm. And they're also open to the public.
That's free and open to the public. IPRH is, I believe, 126 West Pennsylvania Avenue, and it'll be in the lecture hall there. They have a website, too, if you just look on the U of I.
Okay.
for IPRH. It's very easy to find.
Okay. And let's start now talking a little bit about the films. Then. Mm-hmm. Sequins is the only film you have that's directed by a woman. Eleanor Fauché, is that correct?
Eleanor Fauché, yeah.
Okay. And this is her feature film debut, I understand.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's wonderful. Okay. I mean, for a first feature film to come out this well is very rare. Mm-hmm. It is so well made. The craft is just incredible. It's a very, very, very delicate story about the kind of a coming of age story about a young woman who, at the very beginning of the film, has discovered she's pregnant and has to figure out what she's going to do about that. And she's got very strained relationships with her family and so on. And she's a seamstress, or she wants to be a seamstress. She works in a grocery store, but she wants to be a seamstress. And she goes to work eventually for a woman who does piecework for the couture houses in Paris. And so the film is just luscious, and we have it on a 35mm CinemaScope print, so it's the colors are amazing. You see a lot of the work. You know, I actually didn't know this, but when one does this large embroidery, large scale embroidery, you know, like fancy sequin dresses and things like that, there are these very, very big stretchers on which the cloth is stretched, and those are shot both from above and below, and these details of the hands working on the projects, and then of course the English title sequins, because there are many the light reflecting off of these various different types of bits and bobs that get sewed onto these fancy types of dresses and shawls and veils and so on. It's a well constructed story. Actually, it has a kind of neat little anecdote about how she was inspired to write the script. Was that she was fixing, darning, or I'm not sure. I'm not a seamstress, but she was fixing a sweater that her mother had knit for her and worn while she was pregnant, and her mother had given her the sweater. And it had a hole in it, and she was knitting up the patch or whatever. And she was pregnant, and the sort of idea for the script just kind of crystallized for her, and she went off and wrote the script. And it's really quite lovely.
And was this a very popular film in France? Do you have any idea? Or?
One of the things that the organizing committee did, unfortunately, many of us have contacts in France, traveled to France, and so on. So between the group of us, we got our shortlist together and then, you know, polled everyone that we knew. So far as I know, it did pretty well. I know it's also done extremely well in festivals in the United States. I spoke to colleagues at other schools who had sent their students, and sort of it got lots of thumbs up all over the place.
Okay. That sounds beautiful. And the New York Times did mention that, too, about the color and how visually stunning it is.
It's really sumptuous. And one of my colleagues, Nancy Blake from Comparative Literature, is actually going to be doing an introduction to this film on Monday. The Monday of the festival, help me with the date.
7 p.m. The 10th of October.
So she will be introducing the film that night. So she might give a little extra insight on her reading of it. No spoilers, don't worry.
And then the second film I'd like to talk about is Games of Love and Chance, which is by Abdellatif Kechiche.
Kechiche, yeah.
And he's Tunisian?
Yeah. This is his second feature film, and this one was huge in France. It walked away with 3 Césars last year, which is the French equivalent of Oscars, best director, best film, and most promising actress for the young woman who plays the lead. This is a very topical film. It's set in the French suburbs, which is in France, suburbs are what we would call inner city in terms of having housing projects and all sorts of, social problems, basically. And Kechiche wanted to do a film that would not just be about guns and violence and drugs. He wanted to kind of bring allow these housing projects to tell what he calls a normal story. Mm-hmm. So this story, the film has all non-professional actors. The young woman that I mentioned before, Sarah Forestier, was the only one who'd ever even been on a film set before. She'd been an extra in a couple of films, but she'd never really acted mm-hmm. in a film. And it was shot on location in projects. And it's an adolescent love story. And that's one soundbite version of what it's about. I think it's something that a lot of people would relate to. I certainly did. I was watching it thinking, gosh, I remember in junior high school, that phase where one person likes another and can't get up the nerve to say, and then like friends get involved and he's telling her that so-and-so said this and that. So that sort of story where, when young people are kind of becoming aware of being attracted to other people and not yet maybe plugged into articulating their feelings. And so that's very familiar, I think, territory to anyone. And at the same time, these students, their high school students, are involved in a production of Marivaux's Games of Love and Chance. Mm-hmm. Marivaux was an 18th century, he was the great 18th century dramaturge, and wrote a lot of love comedies, basically. They're really fun. Mm-hmm. They're the kind of, the mistress swapping places with her maid in order to kind of see if her lover really loves her for her, mm-hmm. if not. So there's actually a word in French, marivaudage, for describing these kind of ins and outs of complicated love affairs. And the students engage in this. You see them in the classroom with their teacher, and they have very different relationships to what this 18th century, the major, major canonical author, what this great literature, great theater can mean to their daily lives, and why it might be important to participate in the show or not. Mm-hmm. And there's that's very interesting, because I think, as someone who teaches humanities, right. this is something that we're all worried about. And also, the thing that will be a little bit less immediately accessible for an American audience, a non-speaking French mm-hmm. American audience, is that the film is shot in the slang of young people in France, particularly in these suburban areas. And so I'm really interested to see what happens with this, the subtitles.
I was
go.
Just going to ask, how have you haven't seen this?
I have. Seen,
you have.
I have. With, I've seen all the
not
films.
Without subtitles.
Without,
and I'm talking,
without
okay.
the subtitles, okay. in fact, because so. it hasn't been. This film just opened okay. in Manhattan like 3 weeks ago.
So this is a brand new one.
This is
to the
brand
US.
New.
Right.
So far as we know, we're actually getting it before Chicago.
Oh gosh.
Which is, how often does that happen
right.
for us in Central Illinois? So, yes, I've seen it without subtitles. I commissioned someone who was in France this summer to bring back the DVD. It's been released on DVD mm-hmm. there, so I was able to see it before we decided whether we wanted to program it
right.
or not. We were very interested in it, but just to confirm that it was as good as everyone was saying it was. So and interestingly, as I was quizzing French friends who had seen it, a lot of them were like, well, I don't know. I saw people walking out of the theater because they couldn't understand it. It's like, well, actually, we won't have that problem because it will be subtitled.
But it'll be interesting to see if the subtitles match what you think the slang will, connote.
Well, and this is slang that's in constant evolution. Mm-hmm. And my colleague who's introducing this on Saturday, at the Saturday showing at 4:15, Susanna Fayal, is...
Saturday at 7, I think, right? Is that correct? Maybe I have that wrong. Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's 4:15.
Okay.
But that's on the website, too,
okay.
if people want to check it out, and on the posters. Susanna Fayal is a linguist, and she actually specializes in French banlieue language. And so all of her research is on that. So she says that, although it wasn't an improvised film, it was a scripted film, that this is very true to the way people do talk, although it's a condensation.
Right.
It's not as much of this language would be used in any given sentence, for example. But the characters move from this, it's called verlan, this kind of slang. They move from verlan to then the suddenly playing the practicing, rehearsing the roles.
Mm-hmm. And in 18th century
French, right. French, which is not that different from Comedy, but it is a play.
It's, right.
You know, and we see them in the classroom interacting with their teacher in very, very standard French.
Uh-huh.
So they're kind of, and that, even if you don't really understand that in the language, it's definitely reflected in the way they're playing their roles. Mm-hmm. They're carrying themselves differently. They're acting differently. And some of them are better at making those passages than others. And this, how they do and don't valorize this, and how that plays against this love story, it's really interesting film. It's also, it's shot in a very documentary style,
mm-hmm.
Handheld DV camera, digital video. It'll look a little bit familiar in the sense that although he's kind of trying to play against the typical urban film, you know, the film opens with a bunch of guys hanging out in front of the projects talking about, you know, in French we say il tchatch, you know, they're just shooting the breeze,
hanging out,
you know?
Yeah.
So that's, it's very similar, oddly, to the opening of Spike Lee's Clockers,
uh-huh.
where again it's this group of guys who are all going to be the central players in the film's storyline are hanging out in front of their projects, talking about whatever it is. So that's we're really pleased that we were able to secure the film with the distributor, because again, it's really very fresh. All of these films are recent,
mm-hmm.
You know, within the past 2 years. So this is, I mean, the program is about contemporary film, but we made sure that we were going for the most. I mean, Boardman's does a great job programming mm-hmm. foreign film in general. So it's we're pretty up to date here.
And the next one I'm going to talk about is Mulade, which mm-hmm. you mentioned just a little bit earlier, and it has been shown before at Boardman's.
Yes.
But you and I were talking earlier. And
yes, brought back by popular mm-hmm. demand. A lot of people who wanted to see the film weren't able to see it last winter because it hit right about the same time as finals were descending upon us. And it was also really, really cold.
Mm-hmm.
So Boardman's was fielding calls for months from people saying, oh, couldn't you hold it over? Couldn't mm-hmm. you bring it back? And they're a one-screen theater. They've got to kind of make a living and keep going as a business. So this wasn't necessarily going to be possible for them to do. On the tournée list from the menu from which we were able to choose, were quite a few films that were either French co-productions or not strictly French.
Mm-hmm.
So the director of this film, Sem Ben Ousmane, although he spent a significant portion of his life as a French citizen because Senegal was still a colony of France at the time, he's Senegalese. Mm-hmm. And in this case, the co-producing countries are actually, there's five different African countries who co-produced, and Semben feels like he has said in interviews that this is his most African film.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't even do the post-production in France. He did it in Morocco, which was something that he's frequently done post-production in France. But the crew, the technical crew, was all French.
We're all French, isn't it?
And the other thing we saw, you know, there were films that were Algerian and from other former French colonies, were things that we could have choose to bring with this festival. And we wanted to include one of them because in a sense, this is very representative of a reality of French film viewership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you go to see, even in a provincial city in France, there's a lot more film that isn't French.
Mm.
I mean, Hollywood. You know, you could go into the equivalent of a multiplex in a remote provincial city in France, and you're going to see like 50% of the films aren't French. So It's not just a phenomenon of like Paris and Lyon, Marseille have great international cinema. So it seemed important to also give people a sense of these are the kind of things that a French audience might see more frequently than maybe an average audience, American mm-hmm. audience would get to see.
And the makeup of the audience itself, I would imagine, would include, you know, people from former colonies that are now living in France.
Right. Or many generations
right.
of immigrants back or however, whatever point. So,
right.
yeah.
And the director, Usame Samban,
Usman.
Okay,
Usman,
sorry.
Samban, yeah.
And he's been called the father of African film. Mm-hmm. So he is quite well known.
He's one of the most important living filmmakers in the world. Mm-hmm. He's been really had a very major impact, and he's always been politically engaged. He started off as a novelist, actually, and he moved into filmmaking because of the mass potential of cinema, and also that it's film is very connected formally or makes sense for cultures that have strong oral traditions. So that if you're trying to have some sort of message, which he often is, or at least get people to think about various issues of social justice and so on, writing novels isn't necessarily going to reach people in the way making films does.
Mm-hmm.
So this is... this was part of how he became a filmmaker. He's in his 80s. Mm. And this, I saw the film when it played at Boardman's last year, and it's amazing. And everyone I know who saw it, it's intense. It's intensely beautiful. He's a wonderful colorist as well. Mm. He also works a lot with non-professional actors, but who he's very, very good at getting them to give wonderful performances.
And we didn't even talk about the topic of the film.
The topic
is a strong topic.
Yes, indeed, is about it's about female circumcision, female genital mutilation, that I should say, because that I know when I started reading things about, oh, he's making this film, I sort of internally cringed, like, God, that's going to be hard to watch, and so on. Not because of anything explicit, but just it's a hard thing to think about,
mm-hmm.
Because it's still very common practice in many African countries, and Samban, along with many other people, feel like this is a problem. But in fact, the film is really quite uplifting, and so you shouldn't be afraid to go see it because of the topic.
And Mulade means sanctuary, I
yes,
read?
Because the kind of... What sets off the plot in this film is that some little girls have fled the ritual site at which they're supposed to be circumcised, excised. And they're given sanctuary by a woman in their village who invokes Mulade, this right of her to be able to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of, you know, there's all sorts of different clashes in going on in the film or different systems of belief and of order that are kind of bumping up against each other, and where who has the right to say what and who has authority based on what belief systems. There are a couple of outsiders to the village. There's a sort of tinker who actually provides most of the French dialogue in the film. The rest of it is primarily in Bambara, which is a language spoken all over Western Sub-Saharan Africa. I've lost my train of thought. It's really, really good. I mean, all of his films are wonderful. I mean, like, I think the next film up is Notre Musique. Samban and Godard are, you know, really like two of the most important filmmakers alive. And so that was...
You couldn't have a film festival without Godard.
Right. Well, we could, but,
although I will say I did get a chance here at Williamson to track down this film for me, and I thought for myself personally, this is a very, you know, artsy, intellectual film.
Indeed it is. I mean, Godard, he's had his moments of being very accessible and doing very fun narrative sort of plots, but he does tend towards abstraction.
Well, I thought, how do you get from Breathless to this?
Right. Right. Well, yeah.
But he's such a prolific filmmaker.
Yes. And... I mean, he's been making films since the 50s. Right. And this is... One thing to say is that it's actually quite short. It's mm-hmm. it's an 80-minute film, which means that it's arranged into three major parts, and the first and the last, which are the most abstract, are very short. They're only about 10 minutes long, and then the center portion weaves several different narratives, but it is much more narrative. I mean, there is a story. Godao is in the film playing himself. He's gone to Sarajevo in the former Yugoslavia to something called the Rencontre du Livre, which I haven't found a good translation in English. Everyone leaves it in French. It's kind of a literary conference. A bunch of contemporary writers are there. And four or five... writers are in the film playing themselves as well, including reproducing some of the interviews that Mahmoud Darwish, who is a famous Arab-Palestinian writer, actually is repeating his an interview, sort of word for word, that he had given, but acting at the same time. So I... personally loved the opening sequence. Mm-hmm. This is Godard really in a way at his best. It's the first sequence is hell, the middle sequence is called purgatory, and the last sequence is called heaven. And of course he was sort of referring to Dante. But this opening sequence of hell is intercut bits of documentary and clips of documentary images from various points in history, and images that come from feature films. Mm-hmm. And all of it kind of run through various types of distortions and colors and so on. But there's really a meditation mm-hmm. on what is war, because these are images of wars and of violence, and how are we, you know, what happens? What does it mean that we have like cowboys and Indians running around and shooting each other in the clips of Westerns, and then going to, you know, tanks? And it's very thought provoking and very, very beautiful, if horrific. So, and this, the title of the film, Our Music, Notre Musique, is, you know, there is a musicality to the images and the way they're fitting together. And I think that even if someone isn't particularly fond of more abstract film, it's
certainly thought provoking.
It's definitely mm-hmm. worth seeing.
Right.
And interesting. I'm actually the one who's going to be introducing this one.
Whoops.
So I don't want to say too much about my sort of proposing my reading of it, but this is one of the films that, you know, there's no way that this would have been able to play in our area mm-hmm. otherwise, and there are quite a few people interested in seeing it. So we're happy to have that.
I'm just going to reintroduce our guest here. My name is Maeve Riley, and this is Focus 580. Today I'm joined by Professor Maggie Flynn, who's an assistant professor in French and Cinema Studies at the University of Illinois and one of the organizers of the local Tournai French Film Festival. We're discussing the French Film Festival, which begins Friday at Boardman's Art Theater in Champaign. We can also discuss French film in general. Mm-hmm. If you have a favorite French film you'd like to discuss, give us a call and join our conversation. You can reach us at 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Or toll-free 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. And the last film mm-hmm. we're going to discuss is called Who Killed Bambi? And it's not about a deer.
Not about a deer at all. You see, the title comes because from the fact that in the film, the main character, who's a very, very beautiful sort of doe-eyed mm-hmm. woman, young woman, she faints, and the scary doctor says to her that she's just like Bambi. She can't stay up on her feet. Mm-hmm. So This is our suspense thriller.
Okay. Someone wrote, this is doing for doctors what Psycho did for showers.
Right. Which is a little misleading. I mean, well, no, it's not. It's not at all. I mean, it's there's no like stabbing in the shower sort of thing. It's an edge of the seat film. I'm not actually, I really don't like horror films, and suspense I like, but I have a low tolerance for gore. So I was kind of dragged to this film at the Boston Film Festival about a year and a half ago, and was thinking, oh no. And I was on the edge of my seat, but actually quite enjoyed it.
Okay. So not too gory.
No. So it's again a film that's incredibly well crafted. There's a lot of work on color and image, and also it's pretty self-aware about its genre. You know, that it's sort of playing with this, the long empty hallway with the echoing footsteps, and so that makes it kind of fun. That if you're not, it's not a flat-out parody, right, like Scary Movie or something like that. But at the same time, it's pretty smart about the way it negotiates those, you know, what a suspense thriller is and how you audiences expect to see and expect to have happen and how that works.
We do have a caller on line one in Urbana, and thanks for being patient, caller. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
I've sort of had this love affair with French film ever since I think I graduated from high school in the 60s. And I sort of discovered them, you know, through the not through the art theaters and things like that, because they didn't really exist. But there was a recent article in The Economist about sort of like there was an insinuation, this is sort of in the same field, but not about film. But the title of the article was, What has happened to French literature, or the French novel? Mm-hmm. And I've sort of noticed in the last few years that French film is sort of being repetitive. It's sort of like they have this genre of these wonderful, sort of very personal stories about men and women and their relationship with each other. And I'm just wondering if you have a comment on that, because I sort of see like they look back historically at their work and go, well, I think I'll just remake this film, but just change the title. And I'm wondering if there's some sort of cultural malaise going on there, because I mean the article in The Economist sort of hinted around that French literature was sort of like some of the best-selling books are actually of English origin, and they're being, you know, translated, and sort of the top 10 bestsellers are, and the five or six are always not French, unlike, you know, they're sort of their self-love, I guess, you know, I've been to France numerous times, but I'm just wondering if you have a comment on that. Or?
Sure. Well, one thing that I think you can't discount is the role that marketing has to do in this, and what kind of things do we get to see in the United States? What gets packaged as Frenchness? If a kind of intense psychological drama about a middle-aged married couple that's sort of going to pieces sells well as French film, then as a distributor, you keep doing it. And it's a bit short-sighted in the sense that it shrinks the audience then, and that automatically starts to exclude people who aren't interested in seeing that kind of film. I think if you looked at other national cinemas, it's often the case that people have, if you ask someone, what does a Taiwanese film look like, or what does a Japanese film look like, or what does an English film look like? An English film looks like Merchant and Ivory, and it's a lovely period piece, and it has Judi Dench and Maggie Smith, and it might be a great film, but that people often have a kind of one-dimensional idea of what other national cinemas look like.
Yeah, I think I agree with that, but I'm just saying that the body of work you see, I mean, like, for instance, you know, 400 Blows and those kind of films that are really masterpieces and I don't know really, so I'm just thinking of it. George Clooney was on some show Sunday morning, and he was talking about making this film about the 50s, you know, the McCarthyism. And it was interesting how he talked about how he had to get the money, he had to pre-sale it in Europe. And he went to Europe and raised $4 million on pre-sale, and the marketing ended up, and he had this look in his eyes like, I'd hate the business part of this business, and I just want to be the artist and all that stuff. And I sort of understand that part of it. But I'm still wondering, I mean, I agree with you that when we see very narrow view, you know, films that are actually marketed to us as, like you said, French, German films, et cetera, and this large body of work. But I'm just wondering if, I mean, The Economist being sort of a European publication, I don't read a lot of, I only read translated stuff, I don't read French or anything like that, but I'm just curious as to what, you know, maybe there's just not that many stories left. That's what I'm trying
Well, marketing is an issue within a country, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at, you know, why does Hollywood keep churning out certain types of films that keep looking like
themselves? Because it's business.
Right. I mean, that's business. And it's certainly true that, I mean, those films that you might have seen living in the United States, well, they were made in France and they have played in France. And it's not for nothing that there's a number of them. Right?
Yeah. Well, I think when I was in Europe many years ago, I lived there for a while. And I would go see the French B film and the German B film. I mean, yeah, I understand all that aspect, but I'm really looking more toward the what the consensus would be, the masterpiece,
and there's
so few masterpieces anyway. But I mean, looking at the way it's, over the years, I've learned how to look at a film differently. Now, like I look at script. Now it's kind of hard when it's translated, but how things are structured in the script sense. And,
but this is I think that this is part of why the Tournée program came into being about 10 years ago, and part of why I was very excited.
It really sounds great.
I was very excited to be able to bring this here, because I mean, I've lived about 4 of the past 10 years in France, and boy, French cinema is alive and well, and there are a lot of young directors doing really fun, exciting things. And this is not Papa Godard's cinema anymore.
It sounds great. I mean, it's nice to talk to you about this, because it is sort of like, you know, you're right. The focus is marketed and it's narrow, and it's like you say, there's a French film, et cetera, or a Japanese film even. And it is interesting with this mass use of DVD, and I'm sure there are catalogs you can get films, but it's having the knowledge of what, I mean, there's websites for this stuff, I'm sure there is, like you know, French films from 2003, and there's everyone printed, you know, you can order it, that kind of stuff. Thanks a lot. I mean, it really sounds interesting. Have a nice day. Bye.
Thank you. We do have another caller on line 2 from Champaign. Go ahead, line 2.
Hello. Thanks so much for bringing this to the Twin Cities.
My pleasure.
When is the Godard film going to be shown? Do you know that he was here on campus way back in the late 60s, early 70s when I was a grad student and spoke? And it was about, you know, the film where all the car accidents, the name is Weekend.
Weekend, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, quite a long car accident in that one.
What?
Quite a very long set of car accidents in
that
film.
That's right.
Maeve actually has the list of the
there's several,
right there.
So. Several viewings of the film. Saturday, there's a matinee at 3 p.m. Tuesday at 7 p.m. Wednesday at 9 p.m. Now, that's not this Wednesday. That's a week from Wednesday. The film festival begins on Friday.
Okay.
So it's the 12th. Wednesday the 12th at 9 and Thursday the 13th at 7 p.m.
Will that be published in the local newspaper?
Yeah, absolutely. The News Gazette has already covered it, so I don't think that they're going to be publishing the schedule. I'm not sure, but the hub will have it all.
Okay, great.
So if you pick up the hub later this week, the schedule will be in there. And also, we've got our very pretty, wonderful posters designed by Colleen Cook at Boardman's Art Theater are now up in downtown Champaign, and that has all the schedules on it. So if you happen to be out and take a look.
Yeah,
check
it out. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I enjoyed the program.
Good.
The previous caller raised an interesting point, though, with, you know, with the advent of DVDs and, you know, the kind of the mass supply of independent films and films from other countries that are more accessible in the U.S. Why does French film matter?
Well, because I think it's still, and gosh, I should have come up with a good number to show you this, but in terms of the number of films made and their worldwide distribution, it's still numerically quite important. You know, they have film schools that train people from all over Europe and Africa, go to France to learn filmmaking. It's still a major center in that way. Most of Europe is doing a lot of rethinking of who they are in relationship to the European Union and so on. So things that are often being diagnosed as various types of malaise can be connected to that. But I think France is holding a major role in all of this. And they matter because they're good films. Mm-hmm. this is you know, you got me. There's good films made everywhere,
yeah,
but,
right.
but at the same time, as long as they continue to be that good, then yeah, this makes a big difference. It's great. I'm very happy as someone whose primary residence is in the United States. I'm delighted to see the rise of independent filmmaking in the U.S. I mean, it's clear that the kind of small film, what's called a small film made in the U.S., taking a larger market share of what used to be really dominated by, quote, foreign film. It's a shame that it's coming, you know, films from other countries are in some ways losing out to American independent films. But at the same time, as long as everybody's making good films, mm-hmm. then this is, we'll see how the pie tends to get reconfigured. Also, I mean, just, you know, France as a country and as a sort of producer of many types of cultural objects, philosophy and literature and so on, is very much a part of, you know, what we're reading and seeing and so on today. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Quentin Tarantino names his production company Band Apart, mm-hmm. which he got from Godard's Bande à Part. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if your filmmakers in major American filmmakers are still watching and studying and learning from these films, like that's important in terms of just being an educated viewer.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of classic cinema, and that again, that holds for other national traditions as well.
And out of the films that you're showing mm-hmm. this weekend, do you have one in particular that, if anyone could go to just one film,
oh, just one film, oh, you know. I'd have to know them.
Okay.
I always hesitate to give film recommendations. I mean, every once in a while I will tell my students, no, you all have to go see this. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, when people ask me, I try and ask them a lot of questions about what the kind of things that they like are. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, we've done a pretty good job pinning down things that are the type that I would probably send just about anybody to mm-hmm. go to. So they should go onto the Boardman's website and they should read the synopses and see what appeals to them.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, sequins is just going to be, I mean, that's something that people shouldn't decide, well, it'll come out on DVD in a year or two, so maybe I'll just see it then. I mean, it's still going to be a wonderful story and it's still going to be pretty. But I mean, to see that in the theater with a 35 millimeter print and mm-hmm. the, you know, CinemaScope is just all about visual pleasure. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, that, for example, is something that I wouldn't miss in the theater if you're. And Mulade by the same token, which is going to be much harder to get a hold of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not particularly available now. New Yorker Films has a video cassette of it, and I have actually seen it, and the colors are atrocious. Mm. And it's just a very I'm not particularly keen on the job that they've done with the transfer of it. And boy, you'd be missing out on a lot. I think they're all great.
So. Are there any other films that you're not showing in the festival that, you know, would have come out in the last few years that you think would be worth taking a look at that people might be able to find at Blockbuster or That's for Entertainment?
Yeah, I actually thought about this. I thought somebody might ask me that. I better think about this.
I'll just mention one that a few people here at work and I've seen, too, is A Very Long Engagement with Audrey Tautou.
Which played at Boardman's last year.
And the surprise of that to me was that Jodie Foster was in that movie, and
yes.
a wonderful
yes.
French actress, I think.
Indeed, I mean she you know, she went to Yale and she went to the Lycée Français in New York. She does speak French fluently,
mm-hmm.
Which the French press love her because she never has any problem.
Right.
You know, Lance Armstrong had to make a real effort, and he does it. He holds his own. You know, I've seen him do the interviews at the Tour de France, and he does a pretty good job. But you know, she's quite articulate mm-hmm. In French. Alain René's last film, another of the sort of doyen of the French New Wave. Oh dear, my goodness, it's a musical comedy, and I'm just blanking on the name. It'll come back to me in a minute. It's a, is absolutely great. Also, I'm hearing really good things about Cédric Clapiche's latest film, but this is all, at this point, hearsay and so on from friends. I haven't seen it yet, so keep your eye open on eyes open for what he's doing.
Okay.
But come to our festival first.
I'm just looking up Alain René in Google to see.
Yeah, thank you.
If I can find the film. Let's see. He's got quite a few. Pas sur la bouche?
Pas sur la bouche. That's it. Not on the lips.
Okay.
Lambert Wilson does a wonderful American accent in this film. And it's a musical. It's a musical.
Okay.
And it's a lot of fun. But you know, for those, everyone who's here in town or a reasonable drive away, I mean, we're bringing it
this
to you.
This is the place to be. This is the place to be.
For the next weekend.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks, Maggie. We have to come to a close here.
Okay.
But I'd like to say again, once more, you can find out the times of the film, the showing times at the Boardman's Art Theater. It's all one word, Boardman's Art Theater, and theater is re.com. That's on the web, and there'll be posters around town. The Hub will also be featuring the schedule. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to thank you for coming, and hope maybe you can come back and talk about French films again another day.
Thanks for having
me. I'm Maeve Riley, and we've been talking about the Tournée French Film Festival, which will be held at Boardman's Art Theater beginning on Friday. I'd also like to thank Harriet Williamson and our board operator, Henry Frayne. And now we're going to Celeste Quinn, host of the Afternoon Magazine.